I was 12 when a week before Christmas, my mom asked me, "Susan, why didn't we get invited to the Emerson's Christmas party this year?" I thought a minute and said, "I guess Patty and I weren't that close this year." You see, the Emersons had a Christmas party every year, and each family member got to invite a limited number of guests. I had made Patty's list the year before, but not this year. It stung, I was ashamed, and my mom's inquiry definitely insinuated that I was to blame. All I knew was that I didn't have very many friends, and I felt embarrassed and sad that I hadn't been invited. But I was afraid to suggest that our family likely wasn't invited because my dad might drink too much, they might argue, or that I really didn't have many friends anymore because I could never go out or have people over. Not a formula for my popularity and inclusion. You see, friendship has always been an important and difficult thing for me to find and keep. I wanted to offer this service as a way of sharing the struggles I faced, as well as the things I've learned, in the hopes that it will resonate with others. Even through those early hurts and the heartbreak of later endings, at this point in my life, I'm realizing that it is never too late to have wonderful friends and to become one to myself. My latest quest to be a better friend and have close friends began by deciding to locate people I knew through the years and had irreverently lost touch with. I began with Jan. We'd been the best of friends 45 years ago when she arrived from Toronto and me from Boston, both newly married, in Atlanta for several classes designed to mold us into successful IBM salespeople. We were the same age, but 10 to 15 years older than most of the other 60 classmates with whom we shared apartments, cars, and many amenities. Work hard, play hard. Those trips were supplemented by many visits Jan and I made to each other's homes, over which time she gave birth to two beautiful children and I got divorced. Yet we still danced with the best of them and came out at the top of our class. But now, to my shock and grievous comprehension, I learned online Jan had passed away 15 years ago after a 9-year bout with cancer. I felt just awful. What had happened to our engaging friendship over the miles as soulmates, where I was Aunt Susan to her kids? The first effort to connect with old friends made real the fact that death would halt a friendship. All I could deduct was I needed to reconnect with my best other old friends now. I had to get ahead of it, accept that there were likely others who were gone, and equally true that I might be able to carry on with some as if no time had passed. But I must admit, the only action I've taken is fear. What makes it so difficult to reach out, to take that risk when we haven't been in touch, knowing I'm giving up opportunities to reconnect, expand my world, and relive some of my best times? The fact is, not having a lot of friends now is my own fault. I must decide how much I want to change the way I approach life and people. Own how stuck I stay in the patterns of my childhood. I have changed in many ways, yet I still haven't learned to grasp opportunities to create mutual relationships that are bound by affection, trust, support, authenticity, and vulnerability. I know it's hard to be my friend. I may be bright, creative, and caring, but I'm also very opinionated with a take-charge personality, quick to react and struggling to collaborate. I aspire to be graceful, considerate, fun, and easy to be around. Neither of those versions of myself equate to a bad person, but if friendship for the long haul is the goal, I'd so rather be with the go-with-the-flow team player whose kindness is what people remember. In my mind, I don't have a lot of friends because I don't attract the people I admire, because I'm not always the person that I want to be. Here's another scenario. My cousin Lisa, 1 year older than me. I remember staying at her house during the 1965 World's Fair. It was the first time we were old enough to be undeniably best buddies. We'd seen each other occasionally at family events, but the next time I heard directly from her was 35 years later when she wanted me to help her get sober. I flew to Ohio. We bonded and committed to each other's lifeline on this important path. Yet now I haven't been in touch for 20 years. Why? For me, she's sober now, married with 3 sons, grandkids, a very successful real estate business owner. And whenever she reached out to me, all I can see in myself is my depression and anxiety. I keep promising to connect, but tell myself my shame will destroy the potential of our friendship. I don't want to lose Lisa. How many more chances will there be at our age to jeopardize that the best is yet to come? Here is a friend that I know I can trust. We remember the bonds we've made. We've reconnected as if no time or communication had stopped. She has tried again, and I've been too afraid to respond. It's so clear. I am now in a place where I need reliable friendships that can endure my emotions and stories and open myself to new possibilities. So why do I feel paralyzed? Why do humans often let fear and shame keep them from connection? Recently, I read The Great Alone by Kristen Hanna. A girl was moved all over, eventually to Alaska to live off the land with her abusive alcoholic father and 2 loving mother. I know that life too well. The geographic cure, the ferocious effect of alcoholism on a family. I never learned to satisfy my parents, who constantly needed reassurance of how much I loved them. I had my own secrets and burdens. I dreamed of having a best friend like a Jan or a Lisa whom I could tell everything. And I wonder, how could I have missed the obvious? I couldn't have one real friend because I couldn't be one. I'm not trying to simply blame my parents. But facts help relieve people like me from some of the disgraces of our lonely and shameful childhoods that left a deficit of close friendships. Jean Benthal, in The Artful Parent, notes people born between 1945 and 1965 were often raised in homes where children were expected to be the emotional curators. Notice who needed attention, missed appointments, tears that longed for a hug. I registered these things within seconds and knew it was my responsibility to best fix it, make the apologies, and keep the peace. I didn't need much attention. It was seen as generosity. But decades in, more like anxious loneliness. I didn't get in much trouble, but nor did I have much fun. My friendships weren't destined to be with spirited and affable peers. In the Pediatric Journal of Medicine, Whitaker reports that without a close relationship with family during our middle and high school years, our 20s and 30s will be marred by a lack of social connection. My full schedule, my high grades, perfect projects, they were not exactly every teen's dream. Not to say I didn't have any friends, but I had to try so hard to be socially connected. A lot happens between 16 and 37, Dr. Whitaker said. Life is complicated. Parents set the relational tone, and they model skills and habits that their children adopt and apply later on. My parents gave me morals, a sense of responsibility, and a determined work ethic. Yet tending to theirs and other needs over my own was at a considerable cost to my self-esteem and connection. Yes, I've been very hard on myself. But as I age and begin to see time as more limited, something is finally giving. I'm realizing I can let my guard down and be more vulnerable and authentic. I'm learning the importance of being my own best friend, integral to finding the kind of like-minded friends that I want. As I make better decisions on my own, my understanding of friendship is so much more meaningful. Going back to Reason, Season, Lifetime reading in the Call to Worship, each of those friendships have such beautiful and intentional purposes. I see them all as true friends of their time, navigating the changing or bending paths of friendship means accepting that friendships naturally ebb and flow as people grow. It doesn't mean anyone or any friendship failed. I asked myself, when did I have the most fun in my life? I correlate that with when I had friends that made the difference. I find myself thinking over each stage of my growing up all the way through college, noting especially that my family moved the summer before my senior year of high school, and I lost connection with the important people I had known and realized who wants to make new friends in their senior year. But in college, I did meet the man of my dreams, and we married the fall after graduation. His family adopted me, and I felt blessed. Yet there was an intuitive discrepancy between how I'd been brought up and how I was now able to live. I succeeded in my career, made deep friendships, including that of Jan, whom I spoke of earlier. But I also chose to divorce. And after a few years, I saw what happens when change is everywhere. Jobs take geographic turns. Marriages, divorces, kids change our priorities. Life's other responsibilities creep in and dissolve the nights out, drinks after work, softball games, and hangout time. I had none of that anymore. What had I done? Depression steered the next long chapter of acquaintances, moves, jobs. Nothing stuck for years, while many of my peers were becoming more settled. Now, 20 years later, I have friends from AA, local activities, and this church. They have given me some of what I need for my life to move on and find more purpose. I'm reminded that as we age and connect with friends, we're more deeply connecting with ourselves. I've learned that I light up when I feel connected to others and I share honestly. I know I need some space, especially when I'm in need of a recharge. I'm still always comparing myself to others, going inside to wonder why I feel different. I think many of us are at a point where we're feeling a desire to make new or more friends, whether it's because we're aging, new to the area, starting over as a relationship changes, having kids out of the nest, or retiring. We come upon new acquaintances and ask, "Is this a potential friend?" As adults, we tend to lose the friend-making powers we enjoyed as children. but we also prefer deeper connections because we finally understand what nourishes us. It really takes one good friend, someone who you can be totally yourself around, riff and grow with, to fulfill the need of friendship. It's natural with a person who gets you and who you get in return. I'm not pretending it isn't harder to find friends now than when I was younger, more active and more out there. And for friendships to survive now, it takes more from both parties. One person can't sustain the responsibility to keep connecting. Friendships today often require a mutual willingness to repair mistakes and forgive, and permission to change and grow. They disappear when you stop nurturing them. When I divorced at 24, no one warned me or could have convinced me I wouldn't find another wonderful partner, not have kids, and lose many of my friends to their own bending paths. The best friend I ever had was my ex-husband, whom I had dated for 5 years and was married to for two. And truthfully, over time, I couldn't imagine there would be another Lee, so I didn't even want to try to find one. But I guess I better stop believing that everything should be the same as it was. I'm not the same. Once I decided I really wanted a few more human girlfriends, I decided that I can do my best to walk around that bend. We can always honestly believe a friendly, even tempered, interesting, intriguing soul with something in common to converse about can come around the bend and offer an inviting adventure to embark on. I'm learning to see and appreciate the friends I have right here. The people who make me laugh, who watch sports with me, who invite me into their homes and come to my home. It's never too late to be a better friend to myself and attract good people into my life who know me now and accept me just as I am. With all my struggles, I will always love the people who help me make great memories and become a better person through the years. And even if I never talk to some of them again, they are friends in my heart still. But now, I want to enjoy the people of this moment and be the best friend I can to those who are right here. Blessed be.